Pastor Joe.
And I'm Kirsten.
We've served in church leadership for over two decades.
And most of that, we've been on staff together.
We're here to talk about our faith, family, and ministry.
Welcome to Under the Hood.
Happy half birthday, Kirsten. Yes, you heard it here right, folks. We celebrate half birthdays. I never knew half birthdays existed till I met Kirsten.
But
it's one of the many things that she has opened my eyes to over the last quarter century, that we have half birthdays, and this is your half birthday.
6 months to the real thing.
Yep.
Which I really want to celebrate half birthdays more than the real birthday, because I'm not turning necessarily older today. I'm just halfway there.
Well, every day we live, we're one day older.
Oh, stop. You have to be so negative all the time.
I'm not being negative. But for all the men out there and all the husbands who struggle to get one birthday in a year to make it special, I hope you can sympathize
Joe's
with me.
A hard life, folks.
That
a
I have
hard
to actually
life.
This comes up.
It's a hard not life.
So all you guys out there that have to roll through this once a year, I gotta roll through it twice a year. And anyway, my
you
wife
get
has given
to,
you look at the
you get
again. This
to.
Is not a video podcast, but you should see the look I'm getting across the desk right now.
Yeah, I'm scowling.
You're right. I get to sweat and worry and all of those things as this day approaches every year, twice.
Oh my goodness!
I have a hard enough time nailing it for one day, and I got to do it twice.
I'm not going to be able to get through today.
Why?
Joe's got this shirt on. It's just not working for him today.
It's a little tight. Why are you laughing, Abby? I'm the one's got to wear this thing. I had to do something today, and I had to be a little dressier than normal. And
my shirt doesn't quite fit
like it used to. So I'm sucking it in. And
I was telling him that, you know, when you're pregnant, you can use your headband, like your ponytail holder, to expand your jeans so that because they don't button. And so you can expand your jeans. And girls do that all the time when they're just. And so I said, you could do that for your dress shirt.
I've got a few extra buttons undone. And I guess some of my belly was showing.
Up.
All right. I rebuttoned it. I didn't realize I had so much exposed skin.
Oh, geez.
Reminds me of Father of the Bride when Steve Martin tries to put on his old suit in the attic. Remember?
Luckily, he was by himself in the attic, though.
Well, that's true.
He didn't come into the office and try and record a podcast.
So I had the option of going home first and changing clothes.
I really encouraged it. And he's like, no, I'll be fine.
We're recording this late in the day. And I said, it'll be the last thing I do before I go home. And I thought, I will just stay in these clothes. But hey, this is my new barometer because I'm making some changes in my life. And so I will retry on this shirt once a month and see how I'm doing. This will be my barometer shirt.
So can we post that on Instagram? Your barometer?
Post what? My barometer shirt?
Well, just
should we take a photo?
Yeah, like
every
photo
month?
One yeah. today, and then photo two next month, and then
you know
photo...
what? Sure, I don't want you to post it online.
Well, yeah, that's the point of it.
Well, what if I fail completely? I'll tell you what. I'll let you take the picture, and then a year from now, I'll have 12 pictures to show.
Oh, like we can make it a video.
Okay.
Yeah, why not? My dress shirt journey.
Yeah, we better write that down because we're doing something here.
Okay, so you want to start?
It's kind of like we did something last week when you like named it and claimed it on your.
Let's talk about that last week.
Easter time.
What did
Abby? Did he nail it?
No.
I know he didn't.
I think we all know he didn't nail it.
Well, it
you
was
had a
way
range.
Better. It
you
was,
had a range.
You did better. You did better.
I originally said my sermon was going to be
a second.
25 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Let's celebrate.
I wish we had a little confetti to throw at you, a little cannon. But yes, you did remarkably well on time, and church got out great. We didn't have a parking lot issue, and kids ministry volunteers are coming back in droves this week.
You know, somebody
they were
did.
Like, I can do this. But
I was told that there was plenty of good activities they weren't able to do because the sermon was so short.
What's that mean?
It means I need to preach longer. The pendulum swung.
Do they want to play Tetris during the sermon, and that's what they couldn't do?
The pendulum swung too far the other way.
I don't get it.
No, here's the thing. I made this prediction that I would preach my sermon, my Easter sermon, in 25 minutes. Yes. I didn't quite hit it. But on Saturday night at 4 p.m., I hit 29 minutes.
That's 4 minutes over.
But I did.
I'm doing math.
I retracted it. And I retracted it in last week, and I said 25. I said, wait a minute.
There were no
between
25
and 30.
No, yeah. You said 25, and then you got nervous. You were like, ooh, I can't put myself in that box. And then you said 30, and we said, no, 25.
Well, thankfully, but you guys aren't a part of that decision-making process. you have no authority over that. So.
We have no authority, but you did a great job. And Easter... Oh, yeah. Easter was great. We had a great weekend, and people were just really excited. We got out on time. People were, they could meet other people, and it was just a great weekend overall at both campuses.
The service I went to, it was to the minute, 60 minutes.
Really?
I looked down when the lights came on at the end, and it was exactly 9:30. And I attended the 8:30 service,
wow.
And I was like,
wow, that's amazing. Good job. Good job to the whole team. Well,
yeah.
We had 10 services, 5 services at each campus, and all of them, almost all of them, got out on time. I think you preached a little bit longer at your 5:30 service on Saturday night, like 4 minutes longer. And that's where I want to zero in on. What 4 minutes extra did you give them that you didn't give the 4 p.m. service?
I have no idea. I will say this.
You have no idea.
I know that that sermon lengths have become a hot topic on this podcast. I don't think that we should just keep visiting that topic. But since it was such a conversation last week, I will say this. I honestly cannot tell you why the sermon on Saturday night at 4 was 29 minutes, and the sermon at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday, so 10 services later, I don't know why that one was like 37 minutes. I don't know.
It's the same manuscript, right?
Exact same sermon. And I don't know why it went. I don't know why it went from 29.
You go off the cuff
like
a little bit.
To like 36.
You go a little off script because you are.
I was even surprised.
We've talked about this. You're a manuscript preacher, so you pretty much do word for word on paper, and you don't tend to read it. But so your manuscript, but that manuscript didn't change.
Well, I don't stick to my manuscript too closely, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, we know. We could tell.
So I don't know. I really don't know why. Maybe it was because.
So Sunday at 11:30, they really got.
Well, I don't know why it was
an extra message, basically.
I have no idea. Maybe I just talk slower. Maybe after the 10th service, it was just a little bit slower coming out.
You were in pain. Your knee was in pain.
I was in a lot of pain.
We shouldn't say that here, but we're saying it. He had knee surgery in January, and he's still struggling with it. Yeah, but
still struggling.
Easter, you know, someone said, oh, you had to preach 10 services? No. 5, though. You did 5.
How many preachers have to preach 5?
I know. I'm like, he did not do 10. He only did 5.
The other were broadcast.
Yeah.
But let me tell you.
5 was hard on, I think, physically. Someone said you need one of those like kitchen mats that have the extra like padding, and you put that where you stand.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is there's things I need to be doing that will help my knee, and I'm going to intend on doing them. And then the doctor gave me a little bit better medicine this week. We'll see what happens. I will overcome this thing, but I don't know. It's just not quite the bounce back I was hoping I was going to have, but we'll see. We'll get there. The doctors keep reassuring me I'm fine. Things are okay. Nothing crazy happening here. Just stay the course. You'll be okay. So we shall see. But anyway, Easter
I will say a disclaimer. Don't send your remedies or your patches or your magnets or your oils. He's got this, folks. He's got this.
Spray some Windex on it.
That's right.
I don't mind your remedies, but yeah,
he's under medical supervision.
I was not preaching under the influence on Sunday. Maybe that's why it went longer. I was a little. I just taken my medicine. No, I was not under the influence. But no, I'll tell you, Sunday after that 10th service, dude, I was limping pretty bad. And I came home and I'm like, I'm done. But let me tell you, the whole weekend was amazing. I met so many people who I'd never met before, and genuine people who are genuinely interested in the Lord, interested in church, who are using Easter to check it out. Talked to a lot of people. I said, we've been watching online for a while, thought we'd come.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it was awesome. And, you know, we knew we were going to have a big weekend. We didn't know how many people were actually going to show up. And we had talked about, you know, the services balancing out, and they did, you know, it, but I'll tell you, for those of you that are curious how many people we actually had, when you add all the services together, and then it was about 2,600 people in the building. And then we had another couple hundred join us live online. All together, it was pushing 2,900 people, like 2,880, something like that. I don't know how, what the,
yeah.
But that is
insane.
That is insane. It was awesome though.
Yeah, it was.
And what our real hope is though, is that we get an opportunity to connect with new people who are hungry for the Lord, hungry to learn and grow. And kind of my whole heartbeat of that sermon was, what is it that you believe about Jesus? And I don't remember if I said this at every service, but a number of them I said, listen, I want to invite you to come back. If you're not sure what you believe about Jesus, I want you to come back and explore this with us. Come back. Give God an opportunity in your heart and your life. Come back and let's explore this together. Let's talk about it. So I'm really hopeful that this upcoming weekend, we will see some of these people come back. And I'm really excited, hopefully, to connect with some folks that are like, I don't know what I believe about any of this stuff, but my heart and my mind is open to learning. Mm-hmm. And I want to see. And maybe somebody said, I said my first prayer ever to the Lord. And a couple of the services I asked the folks, say, listen, I don't know if you've ever prayed before or not, but maybe right now your first prayer ever, you just say, Lord, if you're there, of course, I know he's there, but Lord, if somebody that's not sure yet, if you're there, would you show me what I'm supposed to see? Would you help me understand? Would you help me connect some dots? And I hope they will. Man, that's what I think the real great benefit of Easter is. It gives the church some exposure and meet some new folks who might just be hungry. Their hearts are soft to the gospel. That is the win in all of this. It was nice to come home from Easter Sunday. And I really want to thank my family for coming over and bringing all the food. This is the first Easter that we did not have to cook.
Well, there was a reason for that.
Well, yeah, because I had just preached all these services. My knee was bothering me, and you just had your wisdom teeth out a few days earlier.
But I only had two, so I still have some wisdom.
And my family was like, you know what? Let us bring the food. You guys have had a full weekend. And aww, that was a huge blessing. Really, so sweet. It was my sister and her husband and some of her kids, and all her kids are adults, but some of them got to come, and daughter-in-law. And my sister, Sonia, is an avid listener of the Under the Hood podcast, so she will hear this. So I'm publicly thanking her for bringing the food. And then my brother, Tim, and his wife, Charity, and their kids. And their kids are all still in the home. They all came over. And we just had a nice, relaxed, the day was beautiful. We got to hang out on the back deck. And it was just a great way to conclude a great weekend.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how our Easter day ended.
Watch some basketball.
Watch
March Madness.
That's right. How's your bracket, Kirsten?
Busted.
We do a family bracket every year. And of course, Neil's participating from Annapolis.
And surprisingly, that little booger somehow always manages to do really well. And he has zero interest in sports. Well, I shouldn't say sports, but like in basketball. And he has won it more times than lost. This year he was winning. I don't think he's winning right now, but he was winning and carrying the whole thing for the majority of March Madness.
But I have stepped into the lead, and I don't think you guys can catch me.
I don't think we can.
I think it doesn't even matter if the bracket goes my way the rest from here on out. I don't think you guys can catch me.
But we watched a little March Madness, and
we were told them how Neil made his first bracket picks ever and won. So when Neil was much younger, you know, and like Kirsten just said, he's never had a huge interest in like college sports and stuff.
He's interested in winning the bracket. So we've always said whoever wins the bracket, they'll get to pick where we go to dinner.
We do a family prize.
And what we're going to do for the evening.
That's
kind of been the prize.
And so
he's interested in that winning, not anything else.
First year we ever did this, what, he was probably eighth grader, maybe ninth grade, eighth grade. So he had a golf ball. I don't even remember where he got this golf ball, but he
called it his lucky golf
ball. Kind of, what did he name that thing? Phil?
No.
He named it something. It was something silly. Anyway.
That kind of brings me back to last week or 2 weeks ago podcast.
Just call me Phil.
Just call me Phil. So now we're calling the golf ball Phil.
Now, I don't remember.
We don't know the name.
I don't remember. But he had a system. He's going to take this drop ball, his golf ball, and he dropped it. And if it kind of bounced to the left or to the right, that's how he decided who was going to win that game. So he picked every choice on the March Madness bracket with a golf ball.
According to the golf ball.
Not on stats, not on record, not on any, not on the strength of schedule, nothing. He just picked it based on which way the golf ball rolled when it hit the ground. And he picked his whole bracket that way.
I remember hearing him drop the golf ball.
And that year, he smoked us.
Yep.
That golf ball. So he's held that over our heads all these years about how the golf ball won. And then, so lightning doesn't strike twice, of course. So I said, all right, next year. So next year rolls around. He does the same way and he got obliterated. So.
And I won.
It was just luck. Dumb luck.
I wonder how he chose him this year because he did.
I guarantee he did I bet you he did an autofill.
Oh, okay. We'll have to ask him.
Because, you know, it was getting down to the wire and I texted him. I was like, dude, you gotta do the bracket or you're not going to be able to participate because they're going to cut you off. And I said, if you have to, just click autofill and let him just randomly pick. That's no different than the golf ball. and he was doing pretty good. He was winning his company bracket up at the Annapolis. Yeah,
his higher ups weren't happy with him because they're like, hey, who do you have winning for in your bracket? And he goes, I don't know. And they're like, oh, we can't stand people like you who are winning and have no idea who's actually winning.
But we're having a lot of fun with that. And so we got.
So I think you and Brock are first and second. Neil and I are.
Well, naturally. Naturally.
I don't think so.
So big things coming up next is now that Easter is behind us, it's a little bit of season of take a deep breath, catch a breath.
Pasta and pie auction.
Yes, we got a big thing coming up here soon.
Our student ministry does this almost every year. I don't know if they're going to continue or not, so I shouldn't say that. But they do this big night at the Reardon campus where the students serve pasta and garlic bread and Parmesan cheese, freshly grated, I think. And then there is a big auction of desserts, and all the money that they raise for that evening goes towards their CIY and camp tuition and fees. And so they're having that April 14th, and it's so much fun. I mean, there's so many people that show up to that, and they'll just ridiculously bid on a chocolate cake. Oh, that'll be $700 sold to, and it's just crazy, but it's so fun.
You know, people have kind of like said, I'm going to donate anyway. So let's have some fun with it. We have a professional auctioneer that comes in every year, and it's just a lot of fun. Now, the hard thing about this event is that we can't change the size of our room. So as our church has gotten larger, the event has had to stay fairly the same size. And so the tickets go fast. They're on sale right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you how many tickets are left because there is limited seating. But last I checked, there were some seats available. So when you guys hear this podcast, if you haven't bought your tickets, I highly recommend you doing it because there are, let's see here, how many tickets left? About 100.
Oh, I'm surprised it's over 100.
Well,
here's the thing. It's even if you can't come and you want to donate, I highly recommend you do that because every dollar you give is going to help one of our students get to CIY or camp this summer. And these are events that are fairly expensive. And so what these students do is they come and they work this pie auction and they work all day from like the second church ends on Sunday all the way to about 8 or 9 o'clock at night. They are there and they are doing everything from food prep to table setup to serving drinks and food, and they're out there, they're carrying pies and they're working hard, but it's kind of a fun thing. So imagine this room. If you've never done it before, imagine this, our entire auditorium completely converted to like a dining room and all these circle tables and square tables. And a lot of times our life groups sit together. And then after dinner, they do this auction and it's just
fun. People usually share their dessert.
Oh, but literally, if you walk out of there and you haven't had a piece of something, That's because you weren't trying very hard. But usually they bring, after they buy the dessert, they bring it to the table, they start cutting it up, and they just start passing it around.
And if you're behind on listening to the podcast and you miss out, you just missed out. You're like, oh, I'm 6 months behind on the podcast.
But you know, this church has been so generous with our student ministry. And I think last year, the pasta pie auction raised about $19,000. And you don't know how far that money goes to help these students. You know, the youth ministry has gotten to the size now that it's really not feasible to take church vans. So we have to charter a bus. And I think this year they might have to charter two. I'm not really sure. But those are not cheap.
Last year you got pied in the face. Someone paid money.
That was a couple years ago, I think.
No, it was last year.
Yeah. It was last year?
Someone paid money to pie you in the face.
Why are you giving people ideas?
I'm just saying.
It brought in a lot of money.
I know.
Listen, I'm willing to do my part.
I think it was like several hundred dollars to pie you in the face. And I hope people bid high and then choose me to throw the pie in their face.
Well, I don't know how. I didn't know anything about that until literally about 90 seconds before it happened, or before the auction started. But I'm a good sport. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help these kids.
There's 123 tickets left right now.
So go get your tickets. And like I said, even if you can't come, it's a good thing to just donate. Yeah. And your generosity, big or small, whatever it is all going to go in this big pot that will help these students go. They get to divide these resources up between transportation and CIY cost, and it really does just help the kids. So that's the next big thing coming up. And then there's some other things after that don't even really get into that much, but it's
the men's cookout is this month too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Men's cookout.
Always fun.
That's going to be on Saturday night after church.
I've never been there.
No, it's a good time.
It's such a good time. But the men's cookout is coming up this April.
Yeah. So lots of good things. Lots of Easter, obviously, is kind of that big pinnacle. So there's this big ramp up to Easter, and then it's like, oh, we made it. And then right back into some of these other things. So friends, you can go to the app. If you haven't downloaded the app, go download the app. All of these events are in there, and we'd love for you to participate with any and all of them.
You know how sometimes I leave the oven on?
Sometimes, all the time.
Well, no, sometimes I leave it on, and in our house, our oven, maybe this is everyone's oven, after about like 5 or 10 minutes, it clicks. It does like this click. And if I'm in the living room,
it's old.
It's very old. It needs to be replaced. We haven't done that yet. We'll be sitting in the living room and we can hear it click. And I'm like, oh, the oven's on.
It's like the heating element kicks back on.
Yeah. And so I'll run and turn it off. Well, today I got up and I actually made my family breakfast, which is pretty rare. And I decided to make the eggs. There's like these famous eggs that I have to give you guys the recipe. It's really difficult. It's eggs and cottage cheese. Mm, no. It's so good.
No, it's really not.
I hate cottage cheese.
Okay,
but this, you have to try it. It's okay.
I have tried it.
It adds some protein to your eggs.
It makes the eggs more fluffy.
Yep, fluffy eggs. Okay, so I was making those this morning for myself for later this week. And I made everybody breakfast. We sat down and we had breakfast together because we rarely eat dinner together. So we decided, let's eat breakfast together. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to put these eggs in the oven and go about our day. I think I was going to take Joe to work, stuff like that. Anyway, so I stick them in the oven and then I realize I don't feel like I cooked them quite, like the center was done, but like I didn't feel like they were done. So I stuck them back in the oven. And then I left the house.
Oops.
For a while.
Hours.
Then I came back and the oven was still on. And I walked in and I smelled burnt egg in the house. Now, egg smell alone is bad, but burnt egg smell is horrible. Oh. And I'm telling you, these eggs, they're like rocks now. There's like,
they're black.
A pan of 8x8 brick eggs. It's like so disgusting.
You can build a retaining wall with these.
I was like, oops. And then I kind of laughed because I was like, Joe's always giving me a hard time about leaving the oven on. And not only did I leave the oven on, I left something in the oven this time and left the house.
So are the only two ingredients is eggs and cottage cheese?
Yes.
Okay. I we're going to need to ask our listening audience, have you ever heard of such, have you ever mixed cottage cheese with your eggs? Now, to me personally, cottage cheese is disgusting. Like if you put it in lasagna, some people, I can do that.
What? You can't say it's disgusting and then well, say sometimes it's like okay in a lasagna,
in a lasagna, sometimes they'll put ricotta cheese and sometimes they'll put cottage cheese. Sometimes.
Have you ever had eggs? Have you ever had eggs with cottage cheese? They're amazing.
Well,
see?
So here, I would like to works? Know if anybody, has anybody ever tried this? Has anybody ever tried to eat it this way? Obviously, Abby, you have.
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I just told her about it.
I thought you were smiling like, oh, yeah, I love that. No, you've never tried it?
No, I haven't
tried
it.
So you literally just
I can't get past the fact that it's in there.
6 to 8 eggs, crack it in a dish.
Scramble them.
Yeah, scramble them up.
Whip them.
Nobody can see you whip them.
Whisk them. Yeah, Kirsten's making the whisking motion, but nobody knows. So all they're hearing is just crack them.
Crack the eggs.
Put them in there.
Whisk them up. And add about 2 scoops of cottage cheese to the bowl and then dump them in an 8x8 pan. I line it with parchment paper. And then you like... bake them in the oven for about 20 to 30 minutes. And then you can cut them up and put them on like breakfast sandwiches, or you can just microwave them later on, have like egg bites and stuff, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, they're amazing, but just don't leave them in the oven. What's funny is that I had told my mom about this recipe. I made them for her and she really liked them when she was here and she went home and made them and she forgot to consult me about the time. So she pulled him out of the oven. She goes, "You said an hour, right?" I was like, "For eggs? No." I'm like, "No, I said like 20 to 30 minutes." And hers were a little brown on top. However, mine are like hockey pucks. The ones I made today will not be consumed. I think my mom was able to salvage hers.
Well, I would not consume them if they were perfect.
Yes,
so.
You will because no, you want to know what? I've made them for you and you ate them. And then I said, "Did you like your breakfast sandwich today?" And you said, "Yeah, it was really good." And I said, "It had cottage cheese in it." No.
The difference is it was a thin layer of those eggs with a sausage and a sandwich. It was all mixed together. What we had the other day was a thick slice and it was, and I could see the cottage cheese in it. And I was like, "I'm out. I can't do it."
Oh,
and you know what?
Word.
I've never been able to do cottage cheese. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a handful of foods I just can't do. And I used to, right out of college, I was interning at a church and I was staying with a family for a while. And they were doing this special diet. It was called the Zone Diet. Have you guys ever heard of that? It was really popular back in the late 90s. And like, "Are you in the zone? Are you in the zone?" And they tried to put me in the zone. And and part of the zone was, I'm just gonna lay it out here. I don't like cantaloupe. Never have. Can't do it. So for breakfast one morning, it was a sliced cantaloupe loaded full of cottage cheese. And I'm like, I didn't know how to get out of that situation. I can get out of that situation today, but I couldn't get out of it then. And so I choked down that whole thing and I can't do it now. That was it for me. I just can't do it. When I look at cottage cheese, I see just a big old thing of old curdled milk. That can't get past
it. Oh, come on.
Can't get past it. Anyway, so now that we've wasted 8 minutes of people's lives listening to this conversation about cottage cheese eggs.
Do you like cottage cheese?
Do you like cottage cheese?
And have you ever had cottage cheese
in
your eggs?
Who has ever done this?
And if you haven't, I suggest you try it.
Yeah. I mean, what's it going to hurt? But take my word for it, you're probably not going to like it.
What?
That's all for today's show. We want to thank our amazing producer, Abby O'Brien. Be sure to check out our show notes and the links for things that we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for joining us on
Under the Hood, Not a Car Show.
What is today?
April 3rd.
Yeah, what is today?
It is your half birthday.
That's right.
All right, that's how we'll start then. Happy half birthday.
Happy half birthday.
We're going to make this all about Kirsten.
Oh my gosh.
This title is all about Kirsten.
It's all about me.